Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, hello, it is Jessica, Divine It Girl, and welcome to the Divine It Girl radio show. I've got my lovely co-host here, Therese. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
And we are super excited to bring you our topic today, which is the magic of consistency. How to create powerful habits for massive results. But before we get to that, we just want to tell you what this show is sponsored by. And Therese and I put together this amazing telecourse. It actually starts later today. It starts this afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific. But if you can't get on the telecourse today, that's okay, because we're keeping the doors open for another week. So if you're interested in how to create a red carpet life with all access to power, purpose, and wealth, then there is a link in the description to the show. And you can click on that, and it'll take you to the page. You can learn more about it. You can sign up right then and there. And then you'll be in the telecourse with us and with all your lovely classmates. And we are super excited to start that course tonight, too. So just putting that out there, that's what the show is sponsored by, and yeah, here we are on this lovely September day. It's in California, Southern California. We're finally starting to get some, like, just a twinkle of fall weather, and I say a twinkle because it's, you know, the mornings feel fallish, but then it's like 82 degrees by 1 o'clock, so there goes the fall out the window at that point. But, you know, the mornings are kind of nice.
Yeah, no, we're, well, I'm in the Seattle area, and we're full on. It's the afternoons have been pretty mild, but I love it. I am such a fall weather girl. I love sweaters. I do. I love cardigans. I love just wearing sweaters, and it's been so nice to go for walks outside and just get like a little, it's been pretty mild and I'm loving it. I wish it would stay like this. I'm like, where is the weather consistently like fall all year long?
Oh my gosh, I would love that, because it's my favorite season too. And the thing is, like, in Southern California, you don't really get seasons.
All right.
Like, it's the same all the time. So, like, you're talking about sweaters, and I was like, oh, like, how I would love to be putting on a sweater right now. But if I did, I'd be, like, sweating up a storm. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't really work. I mean, I'll be in shorts and a T-shirt later on today. So, it's... And I love it. I love where I live. I am very blessed to live where I live. But I do love fall. It is my favorite season. Absolute favorite season.
Yeah, it's good. It's
and,
a good
you know,
one.
Listeners out there, we have a Facebook page, for those of you that don't know. Some of you are on there with us, engaging. We love that. Tell us your favorite season. We want to know. Like, I'm always curious to find out what people's favorite season is. I know mine is fall, but, you know, others have their favorite seasons too. So give us a shout out on the Facebook page this week and let us know. And also, if you are listening to this on podcast and you want to ask us questions about what we're talking about today or any of the previous shows, then the way that you can do that is to submit your questions on the Facebook page. We are very responsive, and we'll be able to look at those and to get a response for you. So if you're not hearing this live and you're not able to call in, there's no worries there. Just hit us up on the Facebook page, and you can get your question answered, or we can look into something for you. So That's what's going on. That's the deets for this morning. Therese and I get things set up like 5 minutes before the show. And this morning I was all caught up in all the things I was doing, and I looked up at the clock and I was like, oh my God, it's 2 minutes. And of course she's good about it, sitting there waiting very patiently for me. And we were talking about, like, what we were, like, having for breakfast. And I'm happy to say that she has finished chewing.
Yes, I got some amazing cinnamon. It was like from the bakery at the store. They made like this cinnamon bread that has like a, it looks like coffee cake, but it's cinnamon bread, I guess. Is the anyway, it's very dense and chewy. And so I was like sitting there trying to like chew a piece right before it went live. And it was like the piece would never end. I was just like, come on. Get this bite to swallow.
And I was telling her, isn't that how it always happens? You know, you think you have more time than you do, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to eat this one thing, or I'm just going to do this one thing, and it ends up not working out that way. And especially, I love it with food, though. When you put something in your mouth, you're like, yeah, I'll have no problem. I'll be able to chew this and, like, you know, get on the air, get on that phone call, and it's like the chewiest thing ever.
Of course. Oh, and by the way, Angie's on our Facebook page right now, and I'm there too, and she's saying she loves winter.
You know, Angie loves winter. Angie's in Colorado, so she probably has really beautiful winters.
That makes sense. See, I'm always surprised when someone says they love winter, because I can handle, I'm just not an extreme weather person. So
neither am I.
Know a secret. Oh, and I asked her if she was a winter baby, and she's December. That makes sense. There's a lot of got a lot of positive associations with winter, so that makes sense. I get it. My husband and my daughter are both December too, so there's a lot of love for winter over there. And my husband, he loves the snow too. I love the way snow looks. I think it's beautiful. I can be in it for a few minutes, and then I'm like, get out of here. I mean, I guess if you have the right clothes, like I've never invested in snow gear, you know, like the special clothing that doesn't allow you to get wet. I'm always the girl who's like, I've just put on some jeans and her regular boots, and I'm like, it's fine. And then I get out there and I'm like, I hate it. I don't want
I look fine, but I do not feel fine.
No. And I lived in New York for 11 years, and the winters over there, man,
that's what I was going to say, because they don't, on the East Coast, they don't mess around with winter. It's serious business there.
Oh, my God. Well, it was the first time. So when I first moved to New York, because I grew up in the Seattle area in Washington, and we really, especially if you're closer to the Puget Sound, like I have been most of my life, you really don't get snowfall. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a dusting, but you're so close to sea level that it's like, achoo, and it's gone. So when I moved to New York, it was a real shocker, because the first year I moved there, they had a blizzard, and the only boots that I had at the time were suede, right?
Oh, no.
That was just,
oh, no.
They were not suede after that winter, let
yeah,
me tell
you. Yeah, I was
going
to say, that's the end of those boots. Forget about that.
And so that's it. I had some suede boots and my jeans, and meanwhile cars are like buried in piles of snow, and you know the street shoveler comes along, and like then your car is literally buried in this wall of snow. And then after the snow has finally come, it doesn't go away over there because it's so cold. It just turns into a wall of like murky, icy slush that's like frozen. You know what I mean? So it's really,
yeah.
I was like, wow. It didn't do much for me. So I bet Colorado is gorgeous, though, and that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's pretty there. Colorado's pretty.
I have not been yet.
Neither have I,
but
I've seen pictures.
You made it sound like you knew. I was like, oh, Jess has been there, so she knows firsthand.
No, I haven't yet. I haven't yet, but I've been to Utah, which is the next state over,
isn't
it?
Not the same.
Not the same. No, but I'm thinking like Park City. I'm thinking like Sundance, Utah. You know,
she says we both have, Angie's saying we both need come to Colorado. We will.
That'd be great.
It's on the list, Angie. Trust me.
It's on the list. You know, we'll do a little road trip. Well, not road trip, but we'll fly there and we'll do a little visit. We'll be live from Angie's house. How's that?
Live from Angie's house. But she's got to first, like, send a very detailed list of what to wear so that I don't show up. Well, I won't do the suede boots ever again. I've learned my lesson there. In fact, I was like, you know what? Forget it. I don't need to own such high-maintenance clothing. I thought I was a really high-maintenance person until I get around something that's actually high-maintenance. And I'm like, yep, no, I'm not.
Isn't that amazing how that happens?
It's true.
It's clarity.
It's clear. Well, it really puts it into perspective. I'm high maintenance in certain areas, but when it comes to clothing, I tend to go with what can outlast me. Like, I love jersey knit, right? Because you can't wrinkle it.
No, you can't.
And it always drapes. It always drapes nicely, and it's like you can abuse that stuff, and it's pretty resilient. I need resilient things in my life, but then it comes to like hair and makeup, and I get high maintenance. So funny. All right.
Well, we are actually here to talk about something, but now here's the thing, though. We do like to ease into the show, and we found that. Our audience prefers that, too. So that's why we chit-chat with you. We hope you're enjoying it, you know, whatever time of day it is for you, wherever you are in the world, even if you're listening to this on a podcast.
But we like to... Yeah, and get on that page, too. Get on our Divine It Girl radio show page on Facebook and let us know. Do you like high-maintenance clothes? Here, Angie, since I know you're listening... How about you? Would you ever own suede boots, especially living in Colorado? Are you, would you be like, nope, absolutely not, too high maintenance? It's funny because I think you can really break it down. You can look at your areas where you're willing to be more persnickety, and there are some areas where you just can't be bothered.
Yeah, and that sounds like another show topic, which I would love to do. Because it's true. Think about it. Think about it, that we all have our priorities, right? We all have the things that we're really persnickety about. And then there are other things where it's like, meh, like I can go either way. Like there's indifference there. Like you don't care. You know, there are things that it's like, you know, I can get really high maintenance about too. So I think that would be a fun show. We should put that together. Maybe that'll be next week's topic.
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
Like, write it down.
I got that written down because I think we have a lot of stuff to say on that. At least, you know what, I'm just learning. It's so funny because before we go into this topic, you know, there are a lot of ways in which we define ourselves. And then you learn that your own definition of yourself is actually not accurate. Like calling myself high maintenance is like, no, that's not actually what I am. I am particular about my hair and makeup, but when it comes to, you know, my clothing being like pressed every morning, I can't be bothered. I just can't. I want clothes that are like, you know, ready to go. But I was always so, I have a really good friend who is like that. Like she'll wake up early and iron things out and like, you know, she'll get the kind of, you know, button up shirts that you have to like starch and then press and then be really, you know, as soon as you wear it, it starts to wrinkle and that's what irritates me. Because I'm like,
I'm the same way. It's like, no, it's not worth the effort. It really isn't. And, you know, one of my exes, he used to steam his clothes, so they were like perfect.
Oh, really?
He had one of those like really high end steamers.
Uh huh.
Like they have it like the dry cleaner. He had one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, what? Like, oh yeah, it was like impeccable. Like, yeah, I was like, wow, this is okay. And if my bestie Terry is out there listening, Terry McCarty. She is laughing her bleep off right now because she knows exactly who I'm talking about when I'm talking about this ex. So there are lots of funny stories around him and that. but I won't get into that on this show. But yes, there's, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take the time to do that. It's not that I walk around in wrinkly clothes. It's just that that's not, you know, it's not a priority. So, yes, we'll talk about that next week. You've got it written down, right, Therese? We're good there.
I so have it written down.
Okay,
and,
we are ready to roll then.
Angie said no to the suede boots, but she just shared the most adorable picture of her and her dog. They're so cute.
Oh,
so that's on our Facebook page.
Oh, they're so cute.
Oh.
Okay. I love the doggies. Okay. All right.
Wait.
Let's get
focused. We are. One more segue.
Yeah.
Just a tiny one. So I'd love it if people would chime in for us about whether they'd like us to do an episode about animal communicating, because that is one of my skills. And Jess and I were tossing it around and we weren't sure. So if you want to hear a show about Jess and I talking about the intuitive art of animal communication, put your hand up.
Or maybe, you know, or maybe what we could do is you could do it as a bonus. Oh, hey.
Oh,
there it is. It's a bonus.
It's a bonus. So
it's a bonus.
Let us know.
You have to raise your hand. Put your hands up on Facebook to let us know. Because really, like, Therese has some really amazing, amazing talents here. And this is something that could be a total bonus because, really, Therese, it could be for you.
Total bonus.
Yep. It's like the bonus level on the video game. Like, bonus! And you didn't know that was coming. You're like, yeah!
Awesome. Okay, now we can do it. Now I'm focused.
Now we're focused. We need that warm-up time. You know, we need to get into it. We need our time to get into the zone. Yeah, we need it. So we're there.
We're here.
All right.
We're ready.
The magic of consistency. So Therese and I had a big talk about this because we were looking at several different areas in life that when you don't have consistency, like, the bottom will drop out. And we were looking at, in I was doing this recently in my own life where I was looking at a particular area of my life, and I'm like, wow, like, I'm getting major results there. Why am I getting major results there, and why am I not getting major results in this other area? So when I started to look at it, what it looked like was a consistent way of being, meaning I was either, like, visualizing consistently, or I was doing affirmations consistently, or I was taking actions that were consistent with whatever the outcome was that I wanted to produce. And so that led me to have this conversation with Therese, and we started to look at, well, yeah, like, if you are consistent with something, anything, and we were talking, she was talking about, and I'll let you go into this, Therese, about, like, what consistency looks like when you're working out, because that was the easiest way for us to launch into this. So you talked about, you know, the 4-week, 8-week, 12-week thing. So, Therese, clue them in on that, because that was really powerful, and I think that's going to really set it up for everything here, because the thing with consistency is results very rarely come overnight.
Right.
And consistency does require commitment, and it requires you to, you know, figuratively and sometimes literally show up every day to whatever it is. So, why don't you tell us about that a little bit, what you were telling me about, because that was awesome.
Okay, well, I've been getting a wealth of information from my spirit team. My guides have been doing a lot of channeling sessions about this, and they've got so much to say about it. But what she was talking about, what I found was this little meme on my Pinterest feed, and I think I saved it to my fitness board or something like that. But it had said, it takes 4 weeks for you to see changes in your own body. So this is regards to working out. It takes 8 weeks for close friends and family to notice changes in your body, and it takes 12 weeks for the rest of the world to see it. So that was in regards to working out. I did a big channeling session last night with my guides, and they had so much to say about consistency. And the most, one of the most important messages, they were talking about potency. It was really funny. It was like the word of the night last night was potency, or potent. They kept using the word potent. So they said it is more potent, like you have a, you get a deeper, a richer result from showing up to something even just a little bit every day than doing a whole bunch, like doing a major spurt. And I was talking to them about creativity, because I'm also an artist. I work on my, I paint and draw. And we were sort of talking about getting into creativity. And they said that it's more potent on in every way that you can think of, because working out is a form of creativity, actually. You know, you're creating your body. But it's more potent a little bit every day than to do a major burst for like 5 hours one day sporadically. Your skill, your level of skill, they were talking about peak level or mastery. You can call it peak level or you can call it mastery, but you don't get to that by doing random large bursts. You get to it by consistently showing up every day, even if it's like for 5 minutes a day to do it. If you're a writer or every successful artist knows that you need to be doing a little bit of drawing every day. You got to keep your hands loose, right? And a musician as well. It's like you can see how this works in almost any category, a chef, musician, anybody who's doing something that the more consistently you do it, the better you become, right? And a pianist, for example, a master pianist doesn't do 6 hours of piano playing straight once in a while to become a master pianist. They show up every day and they work their scales. They keep their fingers nimble and loose. And that, you know, that's about consistency. So they're like, it works across the board. Yes, we can see the results in these certain areas, but no matter where you apply consistency, you'll get the same result, which is mastery. So if you want to master something, if you want to master business, you have to consistently show up every day. If you want to be at peak level or athletic level with your body, that's a form of mastery. You've got to figure out how to show up every day for your body. So, I mean, to me, that was when they put it like that, how, you know, there's certain areas where you can see it easier, like with working out. Music was another one where it's like, oh, I totally get that you need to work out to see that. That you need practice to get to that level of music. But it's hard to see it in some other areas, right? Like, it's hard to see it when we're working on our self-growth. It's not so easy to see the mastery, right? Because it's very personal. And
yeah,
it's what I call being, you can't see the forest for the trees because you're right in the middle of it. So you don't know if there is a result. That's where trust comes in. You really have to get in there and know that consistency is consistent, right?
No, <that's good. laughs>
When you're consistent.
Consistency is consistently consistent.
Exactly. No matter where you put it, but if you're consistently doing something, you will get a master result.
Yes.
A master level result. So, and that, you know, you just have to trust that that's how it's going to show up. It can be tricky when you're working on a business, say you're starting a new venture and you're putting your heart and soul in it and you're not seeing results yet. Well, you know, consistency builds on itself. It's like a train. train on a track. You know how when a train starts, they always give me this one, and I love it. It's like you can see it leaving the station, and it's like chook, chook, chook. You know, it's picking up. It's got a lot of momentum to carry at first, right? It's like at first that extra weight of the other cars feels like it's slowing it down. But as it picks up speed, and it will pick up speed because that's the nature of a train, those cars start to push it forward. That is actually what causes it to move faster, is all that inertia, right, from the cars behind it starts to push the train forward. That's why if a train hits the brakes, it takes so long for it to stop because it's still being pushed forward. So you've got to trust that when you're in the beginning of something, and you're showing up consistently, and it's sort of feeling like that dead weight behind you, right? Like you're pulling it forward. You have to trust that at some point there is the what they would call the tipping point, where suddenly it's not extra weight. It's actually what's propelling you forward. And I would say that that's all the back end stuff you have to do. And this is something I'm going to hand over to Jess because this is like her master area. Especially yes. When it comes to building business or success. This is her turf, so I want her to take this one.
Well, here, this is how I look at consistency. And I want you to think of the metaphor of like a piggy bank, okay?
Yeah.
And whatever you're tracking toward, whether it be you're growing a new business, whether it be a relationship, whether it be you're getting your financial situation figured out and on a track to more abundance and success in that realm, or you are, you know, shaping your body and taking it to a different level and, you know, getting your fitness in gear, all of those, see, that's the thing, is it's all interconnected. So you make an investment in one area, and by investment, I mean, you go to the gym or you make a phone call that it's a stretch for you because you feel like a little awkward that you have to make this call, or you put even $10 into your savings account, or you ask that person out on a date that you've been wanting to go out on a date with. Any one of those actions is an investment into the piggy bank of energy. Okay, so that goes in there. As you continually invest, however that may look, whether it's an action, whether it's a thought, because thoughts are just as powerful as actions. That's actually the first step before the action occurs, is to have the thought. And I know that might sound a little counterintuitive to you, because people just automatically, they go into action. Sometimes they don't even think. They just jump. Well, yes and no. That sometimes can work, yes. However, if you really want to hit a target, it's really important to get very intentional and very clearly state what you want as your target before you open yourself up to get a divine download on what divinely inspired an action to take. And, you know, for those of you that listen to our show or listen to the podcast regularly, Therese and I have talked several times about divine downloads and divinely inspired action. So this is kind of, you know, an addition to that. You want to do that pattern of setting intention and trusting that you're on the right path. You will get feedback as far as what action to take. That action will be an action that will develop into consistency, provided that you remain open to taking that guidance, and that when you get that guidance, you trust enough to take action. Mm-hmm. Every time you take action, that's almost like putting another energy deposit in your piggy bank. Mm-hmm. The thing about that is, you know, we know the metaphor of a piggy bank, it's a finite resource, okay? So you can stuff the thing, but at some point, you're either going to have to set it aside and get a new piggy bank, or you're going to have to crack that one open and take whatever's in it and invest it somewhere else or put it toward some goal. Okay, so say, you know, you're making all these energetic deposits. What the thing with energetic deposits is, as they build, they create momentum. It creates a snowball effect. So if you have consistently positive thoughts and actions toward, you know, a new way of healthy living that looks like, you know, you working out more and you making healthy choices in what you're putting in your body, you know, grabbing an apple instead of grabbing a candy bar. If you do that consistently, in time, you're going to see a result. You're going to see that maybe your jeans are fitting better. You're going to see that maybe your complexion looks brighter or you have more energy. Those things start to build, and they build and they build. And another thing that is really crucial, and this is something that I tell all my clients to do, is to track everything. Now, you can choose the method you want to track. Personally, I really love journaling, and it makes me laugh that I'm actually saying this, because if I would have heard myself saying this a few years ago, I would have laughed at myself, because I was like, journaling? I never really embraced it. And the thing is, you know, I'm not sure if those of you out there know this, but I'm a fiction writer. I'm a published fiction writer, and I have books out there under a different pen name, of course. But I've been writing my entire life. It's one of my hobbies. So the fact that I didn't want to journal was very ironic, and I always found it to be hilarious. I was like, why is that? But I just couldn't get there. When I started to journal in a way that I was tracking, meaning writing down a success I had or writing down, wow, I didn't really feel like this worked out, I was able to, months later, go back and either see a progression or see where I was taking myself out of the game, where I was taking myself out of consistency, where I was not showing up energetically, and be like, wow, that's where I dropped off. Wow, or wow, that's where I really got it, and that's where I started to really gain momentum to push me into the outcome. So that is, the tracking element of it is huge, because that is what's going to keep you motivated, because you are going to hit a wall. You're going to hit plateaus, and you're going to be like, oh, like, I'm just not feeling it. See, that's when you can actually go back and look and say, well, you know, what happened here? This, I got a really, like, I got a spike of really good things happening here. What was I doing at that time? And if you have, you know, if you've kept records or if you've journaled or if you've jotted things down somewhere, it makes it really easy for you to look at that and be like, oh, okay, I get it. It might give you a glimmer of the next step to take. But the consistency thing in and of itself is so powerful, because you don't realize when you're in it how much you're building up. If I want you to think of this, you know, and I don't want to get like too like math and business intensive on y'all out there, because I know people freak out on that. I won't get too crazy, but I want you to think of compound interest here. By compound interest, I want you to think of, we're going to go with really simple numbers here. You put a dollar in, that dollar doubles. Okay, it compounds upon itself, so it becomes two. Then the two becomes four. The four becomes 16. So it's like multiplying times itself. It's compounding. That's the power of consistency. The energy compounds. It's one thing on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. It's not one plus one plus one. It goes exponential. It goes like a trajectory, like, you know, something launching into the air. It doesn't just go linear. It actually projects upward. And that's because it's building on top of building on top of building on top of building. And if you keep with it, even in the points where you perceive, and I really want to stress that, you perceive that nothing's happening, there's always something happening. I think I posted this on my page the other day, my Jessica Nevins page, is that when nothing is happening, get ready, because everything's happening. Everything's about to happen.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that. Like, expand on that, if you will.
Well, here's the thing. There are things going on behind the scenes. This is where energy and synchronicity come in, all right? Now, Therese and I, we always, I swear Starbucks should sponsor our show because they get so many free plugs from us every time. We've given you this analogy, like you go to Starbucks, you run into someone. Okay, let's rewind, all right? We're rewinding that scenario. Exactly. Thank
sound.
You. That's exactly what I wanted, the sound effect. You did that perfectly.
Thank you.
So let's go back to the inception point. And that inception point was, I really want to take my business to the next level. I'm putting it out there, and you're telling, you know, the universe or God or whoever your higher power is, goddess, you're saying, this is my intention. Please help me to get there. What does that look like? You set the intention, you trust that whatever information you get, you will take action on. And it's really important that you listen for that, that you're open to and you're receptive to it, and that you don't judge it, because quite often some of us will judge it and be like, oh, that's silly. I'm not doing that. But that might be the key. So your information comes in, okay? And your information says, you know, go on Google and research such and such for your business and go do this and go do that. And you're going through the motions. You're going through the consistency, okay? And in this consistency, say you research and you figure out, you know, in Teresa's case, she is an intuitive and she is also a self-worth coach. So she's like, I'm a self-worth coach. So she puts that out there, and the universe is like, bravo, you did all these prompts, you got that information, you're in alignment with that. And then once she's in alignment with that, she says, well, I really want to get more clients. And the universe says, all right, okay, this, you know, open yourself up. So she starts taking steps toward getting more clients. So she's in motion. She's making investments into her piggy bank, okay? Then, you know, fast forward a month or two later, she thinks she's not having any results because she hasn't seen that, you know, that new client come in or whatever it is. So she's like, no, I'm just going to trust. I'm going to trust that everything is working out. Everything's working together for my good. And she keeps moving forward, and she's consistent. She is putting herself out there. She's visible. She is taking actions every day. And then she gets this prompt in the middle of her day to go to Starbucks, and she's like, really? Like, I'm in the middle of something. And nothing's been happening up until this point. As far as clients go, nothing's been happening, right? She goes to Starbucks. She meets a new client who ends up referring her to other clients, who ends up referring to other clients, and then a few months later, she's got more clients than she knows what to do with. That's the power of consistency. The energy builds up. So even when nothing is going on, it's one of those things, it's, and I've heard this so many times before, it's like when nothing's going on, it's like, get ready. When nothing is going on, that's a space of clearing. That is either a space of clearing to get really intentional, or it's a time of preparation, because there are things that need to be in line before you can welcome in that result. So that's what I mean by that, is that the nothingness or the perception of nothingness is that, you know, oh, there's nothing going on. But the thing is, you know, a week away from you, but you don't know this yet, a week away from you, you're going to meet one client that ends up bringing you 10 more. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I just...
I just want one more thing I want to add is I want you to think of a duck. And, you know, a duck is sitting on the water, and they look very tranquil. They're just like, they look like they're hanging out. They're all chill, whatever. What you don't see underneath the water is the little legs are going. They're, like, going. They're, like, going so hard. They're like, ooh, yeah. But you don't see that. You just see the duck. know why he's cruising. He looks all chill. But his legs are working underneath. So there are always things that are going on behind the scenes that we can't see yet.
That's true. That's true. And what was I going to? Oh, it's just so many things you said. I had to, like, take a little note because I'm like, oh, there's so many good points. The other day I saw a meme in my news feed that said that everything you want, everything you're trying to create is only 12 minutes away. And I loved that. I was like, oh, I can wait 12 minutes. So
exactly, right? If we all knew how much time we needed to wait, it would make it so much easier, wouldn't it?
Well, and also if you frame it like that in your mind, you know, give it 12 minutes at a time. You can wait 12 minutes. That's not so hard. That's like waiting for cookies to bake, which is another mm-hmm. thing that my guide, I love the cookie analogy. I'm a little cookie monster. So anything with cookies I can get down with. And, you know, 12 minutes, that's not that hard. And in universal time, which doesn't really exist at all, it is like being 12 minutes away. Everything that you want is 12 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So chunk it down into that amount of time. You can hang out and give trust for 12 minutes. And then after that 12 minutes, give another 12 minutes of trust. Also, one of my favorite teachers ever, Abraham Hicks, talks about holding an intention for 17 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to create something or there's something that you want to appear in your life, hold the intention for 17 seconds, saying, I don't know, I have a lot of clients who I serve and help. If that's what something you need, hold that intention for 17 seconds. Literally time yourself thinking that thought over and over. Like that's the power of the mantra, right? And that is like one of those energetic coins Jess is talking about going into your piggy bank. It literally, imagine that what you're trying to create, every time you hold those intentions for 17 seconds, molecules appear that form that thing. Right. And so every time you're holding this intention, another 17 seconds, well, it's like you can see them like materialize, like pop, pop, pop. And they're like starting to form. It's forming. It literally does. You're drawing it in to your reality. So 17 seconds holding that thought. And like Jess was talking about with compound interest, those 17 seconds build on each other. The more you go back to that thought and hold it for another 17 seconds, the stronger it becomes, the more dominant its frequency is. One of the sessions I had with my spirit team is they were talking to me about the most powerful tool that we have in creating, in manifesting, is intention. They're like, we cannot drive this home any harder. Intention is everything. They likened it to a car. They said, if you had a car, intention is the engine. That's what makes the car go. However, you have to fuel your intention. And they said, fuel it with trust. Trust that it's happening. That's that 17 seconds. That's the fuel up, right? They're saying that trust is the gas for your car. And you have to refuel consistently, just like a real car. If you only filled the tank once and then drove all around and never filled it again, your car is going to die. Doesn't matter if you have a great engine. You're not fueling it. So trust has to constantly, it's something you have to do consistently. It's not a passive activity. You can't give trust once and be like, okay, I trusted. No, no, no. This was a big one for me to hear. Trust is a present tense, constant activity that you constantly need to refuel, go back to it. So when Jess was talking about that period of crickets, you know, there nothing seems to be happening, that's the time you need to be keeping your gas tank full with trust. Keep it fueled. Hold the 17 seconds. Imagine the 12 minutes away. I know this is a lot of time references, but this is how the universe works, is they'll like bombard you with this information. If you're open to finding it, you'll get it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so these are the things that they've been sending me frequently.
Well, and it's funny that they gave you that, because I had a personal experience with that yesterday. And for all of you out there, in the last show, I said that going to work out, what, for 7 days straight? Mm-hmm. Was that the last show that I said that?
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, I did it. So now I've pushed past that, and I hit day 10 yesterday. So I went to this yoga sculpt class, which is like power yoga but with weights. It's really insane. And the teacher I had last week was fairly mellow because she was a sub. Well, I had the regular teacher yesterday, and she's like the Jillian Michaels version. It was intense. And I remember at one point when we were doing some like heavy duty cardio, she said to all of us in the class, she's like, come on, you can do this. 20 more seconds. You can do anything for 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And in my head, that's what I start saying. I'm like, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. It's only 20 seconds. It's only 20 seconds before, you know, you're getting closer to your goal. Just, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. If you have that kind of reference, where, like Therese said, if you can say it's only 12 minutes away, it turns something on in your brain, and it gives you almost like a boost. Like, I got a boost of energy with that. When I told myself, like, it's only 20 seconds, Jess, you can do this. It's like, all of a sudden, I felt like this little energetic boost within myself. Like, okay, I can do this. So I think what Therese just said is really brilliant, because if it's 12 minutes away, like really 12 minutes away, that's nothing. And
right.
If you keep on putting one foot in front of the other, you'll have walked an entire path. That's the thing. It's like just take one step. That's all mm-hmm. you have to do is take one step. Be in the taking one step, you're making an energetic investment.
And here's a trick. A lot of us have smartphones now. It's pretty common to have one. Use the timer on your phone. Set a timer for 12 minutes and see, like, I mean, it takes me longer than 12 minutes sometimes to get ready. So I can hold the intention that I completely trust that whatever I'm asking for is coming to me for 12 minutes while I get ready. You'll be surprised. You can hold it. Like, while I'm getting ready, I can hold the intention that everything I'm asking for is coming to me. It's already here. It's like 12 minutes away. It's like on the road driving to me. I can trust that for 12 minutes. So give yourself these fun exercises that you can hold a belief or an intention or your trust. Hold your trust for 12 minutes. And if that's too long, do 17 seconds, because really, it's like, that's nothing.
Yep.
17 seconds, easy peasy. It's like those plank challenges. I like doing those where it's like a month, you know, and you build up. And the mm-hmm. first day is hold a plank for 10 seconds. It's like, huh? Yeah, you can do that. You know, even if you've never done a plank before in your life, you can hold it for 10 seconds. I promise
mm-hmm.
you can.
Yes, that's true.
Right? So start, if 12 minutes feels overwhelming, give it a try. See how it is. And if it's too much, fine. Start smaller. Go smaller. But do give it a chance. Give yourself the chance to hold the trust. Hold that intention that it's happening. It's already happening, that it's literally traveling to you, just like the train or any vehicle you want, where you are imagining you're the destination and it's on its way to you. And every time you give it trust, it's like you're adding energy to that thing to travel faster. It's traveling even faster. Now it's got more momentum behind it, just like the cars of that train. It's building up speed as you give it more attention and more trust.
Yeah, it's the attention and the trust. They go hand in hand, and they're absolutely powerful. And the thing is, it's like they absolutely have to happen on a daily basis. And in some cases, depending on what it is, maybe it's multiple times a day you might go into that thought, especially if you're trying to create or to manifest a new way of being. To get to a new way of being, you have to learn to access the feeling of that new way of being and to sit in the feeling. And like Therese says, if you can do that for 12 minutes, fantastic. If you can do it for 17 seconds, because 12 minutes might seem like a lot, you can work up to 12 minutes. You can start at 17 seconds. And if you really want to feel like, you know, say you've got some money issues you're working through, you want to get yourself into abundance, you want to get yourself into wealth consciousness, you need to sit for 17 seconds and feel into that. What would that feel like if all your bills were paid? What would that feel like if you were completely debt-free? What would that feel like if money just flowed to you? What would it feel like? And feel whatever that is, that feeling, whether it's freedom, whether it's joy, whether it's safety and security, whatever that feeling is, you feel it. For 17 seconds, a full 17 seconds, you dedicate to that feeling. And then you can continue to do that multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. As you do that, what happens is you're magnetizing yourself to money. You're associating that coming, that feeling coming into you. So it's all about really magnetizing that feeling.
And then going back to what we said earlier about consistency and what my guides had talked about, that showing up a little bit every day is more potent than spending hours one day randomly. You can go to, it's the difference between waking up every day and spending 5 minutes in your intention versus going to a retreat and spending hours in it once in a blue moon.
Yep.
It's just so different. The 5 minutes a day is mastery. That's the path of mastery. The other thing is more like a little trip, right? It's like, oh, here's a trip to your potential. We're taking a day trip. Hours. No, seriously. I mean, think about it that way. It's
like, I know. I love that. I love that, though, a trip to your potential. I love that.
Is.
That's awesome.
When we went to, we had a retreat that we went to, and I did. Mm-hmm. I got, it was like, what was it? 48 hours, maybe longer, 70, something like that. 72 hours, a trip to my potential. I got to hang out there and feel my potential and be like, wow, this is amazing. I love it. And then I'd go back home and it's like, whoa. And it didn't last. I mean, it didn't last in the sense that the potency of it wasn't there, right? I got to taste it. I got to kind of experience it with all my senses. And then I had to come back to, well, it was great. Okay. It was life changing and it was, a goal, right? I got to feel sort of the end point. It was like a free preview, right? But I actually have to show up and do the steps, take the path of mastery to get that to be a consistent vibration. And I'm not knocking retreats or saying, you know, don't do something in a burst. That was the gift of that. My phone is chiming in agreement. That's the gift of that. You know, those kind of intense periods of doing, you get to have like, it's like going to the movie theater and watching the preview of the upcoming movie. That's what it was. But to have that as a consistent vibration, you have to build on it. You have to take the path of mastery, which is showing up a little bit every day. And pick a thing. It doesn't matter what the thing is. The consistency is the path. Showing up every day is the path. So if you want to be like a master yogi, you got to show up and do some yoga every day. Even if it's just a couple sun salutes and you're done. That's better than nothing at all. That is way better than 6 hours on a Sunday one day in the future, next month, you know. So that's
yoga
not going to make you. Well, that's not going to make you a yogi. That's going
no,
to give
it's
you
not.
The. That's going to give you the free preview of a life of a yogi, maybe. A really intense day of one, but
you're
that
not
going to
get a yoga
you.
Body from that.
No, you're not. You're not.
No.
And you're not going to be a master pianist doing a. You know, playing the piano for 6 hours straight, you're going to get a feeling of what that's like, but you're not going to have that experience. You're not going to be that vibration. Because really, it's in the consistency, the showing up a little bit every day. I was watching another thing they brought to me. Hold on. This was impressive. Another thing they brought to me to watch was a story of a young man who is, oh my goodness, a master penman, which is somebody who's, you know, they can do the freehand calligraphy penmanship, all the
Oh my God. I think I know what you're talking about. I saw that guy the other day on YouTube.
Exactly. So he's this master penman, and he's the youngest
in
the world.
He's doing all the logos, right?
Right, exactly. He's the youngest in the world. But one of the things that they pointed out, his wife said it. She was like, I had no idea what it took to do what he does, that he shows up every day. And it shows him, like, sitting there practicing swaths, you know, like doing little scrolls with his hand on just this piece of scrap paper. And that's what he's doing. And that is his way. That's his path of consistency. He can't, if he were to stop practicing that and then try and go and do a big piece, his hand would be all shaky. His swaths would be off. It wouldn't be concentric rings. He has to show up every day and do a little bit. It's like it's a muscle memory training, right, for the hand. Showing up every day, practicing these swaths. And the piece of paper, maybe it goes into the recycle bin. It doesn't actually get to be anything. But that is the path of mastery. That's what mastery looks like. There are people, I mean, martial arts, you can look at it there. And they practice the same moves over and over again. They're not fighting anybody. They're not in a, you know, in a tournament. They're just practicing the move over and over. Practice it. Get it into the body, just like a dancer gets it into the body. Point the toe, point the toe, point the toe, till the point where you're not thinking point the toe anymore. The toe just points when you lift off the ground. So that is what consistency and mastery, that's the path of mastery. And I can't stop repeating that because it's really important to get. If you want to master something, you have to show up for it every day, even if it's 17 seconds to start. That's pretty, now they're saying that it's been scientifically proven that to master.
Oh, Therese, I can't hear you right now. I don't know if those of you out there that are listening can hear her either, but it's really interesting because I can't hear her. So, it's interesting. We've been having some technical difficulties the last few weeks, and I apologize for that. I'm not quite sure what's going on. But if you'll just bear with us, I'm sure we can get it all figured out. So, okay, what she was saying, as far as mastery is, the foundation of mastery is consistency. So, that is what I believe she was trying to drill home. Okay, now here she is. Let's see. Okay, so Therese, did you hear what I just said? Is that consistency is the foundation of mastery, and I think that's what you were getting to. You were starting to talk about mastery before we had some weird thing happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought my headphones went all quiet, and I was like, what the heck? So
well, that's what happened to me last week, so that's why I was like, I'm not going to do the headphones this week.
I know. I love the way it sounds on the computer, which is where I was calling from before. And now I'm calling from my phone. So sorry if the call isn't as crystal clear as it was before. But yes, she nailed it. I was just really hitting it home. It's like if you want to master anything, show up. Even and I was saying that, you know, it's been scientifically proven that 10,000 hours leads to mastery, 10,000 hours in anything. And so you can break that 10,000 hours down as small as you want, but 10,000 hours is create mastery. So showing up 17 seconds a day is better than not showing up at all. Showing up for 6 hours one day every once in a while doesn't lead to mastery. You do have, it is proven that you have to show up daily.
You do have to show up daily. And the investments do grow. And the thing is, if you are looking to go to a new level, and that's the whole reason why you start in the first place, you have to understand that, and this is kind of, you know, one of the nice things, is that frequently when you are in this process of going to the next level, regardless of what it's for, whether it's fitness or relationships or money or business or whatever it may be, there will be side effects. There'll be positive side effects. It'll dribble over into other parts of your life. And you'll start to see it affected in a very positive way. And you'll be like, whoa, I wasn't even working in that area. And wow, okay. Because, you know, energy is energy. You work on one part and you really get consistent, other parts will be positively affected. So just know that there's no,
well, there is,
you know,
a ripple effect.
There is a ripple
there's
effect.
Definitely.
So it's not going to be like you just work on this one area and you're just going to get results only in that area. Yes, you will get results. However, be open and receptive to the fact that you might get prompts for other areas too. And once you take that, those will start to up level as well. It's almost like,
oh, yeah,
you know, the energy just like goes out into like this big wave. You know, it's like the pebble into a very still pond, and the waves go out.
And also, if you notice that you're putting a ton of focus in a very specific area, and after 4 weeks you're not getting feedback, you're probably trying to force something. There's usually,
yes,
you always get intuitive bumps about where you should focus. And that's what they're asking about the trust. It's like, for instance, if I'm focusing on my finances, and I was focusing on my finances, and I heard really hard, I heard it, it was so strong. They were like, you need to switch your focus to stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
Stress relief. They were like, trust that all the stuff you're trying to work on right now comes from focusing, making stress relief a priority, because I've got two little ones, one's teething right now. And it is very stressful. And trying to focus on another area that requires a lot of my attention, and it's like, you know, when you're going against the grain, it's like, I need to relax is the point. But I'm focusing hard on something I'm building. And it was like, that's not helping you, actually. That's just stressing you out more, because you're trying to work against what you need. What you need right now is to get everybody to relax, starting with you. Anybody who's a mom understands this, that your kids definitely pick up your vibe. So if I'm in a stressed out mood, they get crazier. That's how my kids go. My kids have a lot of energy because I have a lot of energy. And if I'm stressed out, they don't stress out necessarily. They just become like, let's say, batshit crazy. They just get super hyper. They're like bouncing off the walls. And I mean, when I refocus and I focus on stress reduction, like what can I do to reduce my stress? My kids got super calm, really cooperative. I mean, like both of them. And I've got a 4-year-old and a 10-month-old. So it's like, you know, it's not like that they're like logically picking it up. Like, mom's trying to calm down, so I think I should be more cooperative. That's not what's going on. They settle because I stopped forcing myself to focus in an area that I felt like I needed to, and I went into an area where I know I needed to. That was the difference. Thinking I needed to and knowing I needed to. I need to relax. I need to figure out what is going to reduce the tension in my body and in my energy field. And it had a ripple effect on everybody. And it really does. I'm like trusting it. I'm like, yes, it doesn't mean I'm not being responsible if I'm not focusing on my career right at this moment. It means that I'm focusing where my attention needs to go. And the career, did it fall apart? No, it did not. It did not fall apart. More clarity came. Actually, that piece where I was like, wow, this feels like a struggle and I don't get it, I got it when I relaxed,
mm-hmm.
when I went for that walk, right? When I did the things
they were like, focus on stress relief. And then the information came. They were like, see, we were waiting to give this to you, but you had to show up in the way that was present, right? You have to be present with yourself. A lot of times we're not present. We are hanging out in the future, especially if we're trying to make things, businesses, relationships, finances, you name it, anything that you don't have that you're trying to make, that's a future activity, right? Like you're trying to draw the future into your present. So you're not really hanging out in your present, you're hanging out in your future and what you think that looks like. I mean, this is a big one that I'm saying right now. You're hanging out in a place of what you think it looks like, what you think you have to do to get that thing. And if you're with your present, right, and your present is saying, I am exhausted, I need a nap, and you're trying to build a business, it feels counterintuitive to take a nap when you're trying to build a business. You're, like, trying to make it happen. It feels like I had to work through some guilt on that sometimes. But I need to work. I need to make this painting, or I have a deadline. I need to do something. They're like, a 20-minute nap is what we want. When you show up for that and you relax, then it's like the information, those divine downloads we're talking about, but deposited. But you have to get present, right? You have to know. It's like if Jess was presently itching to go for a workout, like that's what she really wanted to do, but she's focusing on her business, and it feels like a disconnect to work out. But that's what your present body wants. Like right now, your body's like, that is what I want. That's what every part of your present moment wants. But you're hanging out in future moment where it's like, well, I'm trying to build this thing that I see in the future, and I don't see how working out connects to that. So I'm going to resist that and not show up there. I'm going to hang out up here, looks like. Right?
Yeah, and that's – and you hit the nail right on the head there because I guess it was a few weeks back, and I was really – I had been pushing really hard for a very long time, like weeks upon weeks upon weeks, not taking breaks. And the universe will give you a timeout. So it's really important if they're telling you to slow down that you listen. And I wasn't listening. So they gave me a timeout. I got sick. And I'm a person that doesn't get sick. So I got this cold. And I was really whiny about it. I was sitting and talking with Spirit. And what I heard was, we gave you warning signs. You elected not to slow down. You had to be slowed down. So now you're in timeout. I'm like, oh, man.
Wah, wah.
Exactly. So I was like, ah. So, but then once I got healthy again, what was interesting, though, is that it put my focus on health, like really put my focus on health. I took my eating to a different level because I'm naturally a healthy eater, but I really stepped it up. And then that's when I decided I'm going to work out 7 days straight. Like I'm going to do this. And it changed everything. And like to reset, like the other day, I was like, gosh, I have a lot to do, but my body so wanted to go for a run. And I was like, I'm going to go for the run. What happened on the run? Not only did I clear my mind, but I got some really amazing downloads. Like, I was able to, like, dictate them into my phone when I was running. And then, actually, when I got back, it gave me an energy boost, and I was able to take the information that I got on the run and use it to actually maximize and make my day more efficient. So I took that prompt. I listened to my body. My body's like, no, I want to run right now. And it's like, all right, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a leap of faith here. I'm trusting. And it was the best thing I ever did. And it seems counterintuitive, right? Like Teresa was saying, like you're busy, like your hair's on fire, like you're like, the last thing I can do right now is go for a run. But it's like, you know, Teresa saying like the last thing she could do was take a nap or take a step back and not do any work. You think that that's actually going to be the death of you, but it's not actually the, you know, not taking a nap or not going for a run or not taking a step back is going to be the death of you if you keep going.
And you can reverse it, too. You could reverse what Jess was saying. Like, imagine that the bump she's getting is that she needs to sit down and concentrate all day on her work. But she's like, no, I got to go for a run because that's something I've started, right? That's something I've done. I've got, you can reverse that too. That would be an avoidance technique. If you're getting the bump that you need to sit there and build something and you've got the inspiration to do it, right? Because they're telling you, this is the moment. I want to build this thing. But you're like, no, I've got to go to yoga class because I've established that. That's also going against your present moment too. So it can work either way. I just wanted to point that out too, because sometimes you get the bump to work on something, but you've established something else, right? You've established a pattern. And we are talking about consistency. So this is a tricky one. How do you stay with, stay present and be consistent? So when it comes to that, like if you have, like, let's say, Jeff, I'm using you as an example, Jess. Let's say you had a class that's every Tuesday at 10. But at 10 o'clock or at 9:30, you get this really strong urge that today you need to sit down and work on that thing. But you want to be consistent with your workout as well. But you're also building something, and you've got this bump to do it. So she's got to trust that if she shows up to build this business thing today and misses that class, that A, she'll be able to get in exercise some other way that day, and B, that there's something divine coming through, right? There's her intuition is live at this moment. Just like we're live on the air, her intuition is live with her. They're like, hey, hang out with us here and do this. We've got something amazing for you right now, you know? So she's got to be in that place of trust where she'll show up to build whatever they're asking her for, and trusting that she'll also be able to take care of her body in a way that feels good. And maybe there was a reason that it came right when she had that class. You never know. Like, maybe the instructor was out and it was a person she doesn't like taking class with anyway, so.
And I've had that happen before too, so that really has happened.
Right, so, I know. They don't do anything by mistake, even though we're like, are you kidding me right now? This is the moment you want me to work on this? I have plans. And they're like, yeah, honey, but this is the right place to be for you right now. You got to trust that. A lot of times we fight against it, like a kid fighting against their parent. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Well, we've got a caller. So let's see who's on the line. Hello, you are live with us. Who is this? Area code 317.
Hi, it's Becky.
Hey, Becky.
Hi.
So,
I'm calling in. I just had an instance today where I was confused whether it was my intuition telling me not to do something or if it was a fear.
Okay,
go for it.
So I'm actually planning a trip, and one that was based on intuition at the same time, too. But at the last minute, like, all my plans fell through. So how do you know when to, like, keep plugging along with it or, you know, try something new? It doesn't make any sense. I'm
no, it totally makes
my
sense.
Question.
No, it totally makes sense. So you had plans that you were trying to follow through with, and then they somehow got stopped. And your fear about it is that maybe it means you're not supposed to go on the trip.
I think it was more about I was trying to rent a car, and right before it I was like, oh, it's not too late to, like, not rent a car and figure something else out for the trip. And then when I got in there, then they wouldn't take my debit card. They said I had a credit card, which I don't have. So it was like I got stopped full stop at renting a car. I mean, I could find someone with a credit card to help me, but was it just fear of, you know, spending the money, or was it like an intuitive reroute?
Well, there's a lot of different factors that can be at play here, because it might have nothing to do with the finances or the car. It might have to do with you needed to be at home. It's kind of like what Therese was just saying. You need to be at home for whatever reason. You might not know that reason yet. It also might have been that you might have rented the car and it might have broken down on you. And then you would have been, you know, in a weird situation. I mean, there are infinite possibilities here. What I would get clear on is what is your intention? Do you really want to take this trip? Let's take the time and all of those kinds of restrictions off of it. If money and time were not a restriction, would you still want to be taking this trip?
Most definitely.
Okay. So when you put that intention, and you put the intention in with the timing and the situation for your best and highest good, that actually opens up opportunities for you. So what may end up happening if you reset your intention within those parameters is that you might be gifted money. You might be gifted with a better situation. You might not need to rent a car. There are all these different things that can happen. It's just more of a reframing of the intention. And say, I really want to go on this trip, but I want it to be, you know, you can say you want it to be a magical experience. You can say you want ease and grace with it. You can say that you want it to be the best experience of your life and that you want the very best timing and you want the very best set of circumstances. Now, the thing is when you put that in, I'll let you jump in here in a minute, Therese. I just want to add this one last thing, is when you set that intention, the thing is once you set that, you have to surrender it. Mm-hmm. You can't start looking at, I really want to go at this time of year, I really want to go on this week, because that is getting in there and mucking it up again. So you really have to surrender what the intention is that you set, because you want the highest and best outcome. That highest and best outcome might be 2 weeks from now, or it could be 2 months from now. But when it does come in, if you put highest and best, then you're going to get highest and best, and maybe you'll get something that you can't even imagine right now that's really magical.
What I'm getting, Becky, I'm getting a little intuitive bump here, and there's supposed to be somebody else involved, and it's a female who's going to help you. And I'm not getting who, but I feel like you need to allow that person to help you. Maybe you need to reach out to them, but you're also helping them in return. You don't know it yet.
Okay.
And my phone just lit up on that one. I got a confirmation. so I feel like you know who this person is already.
Well, I'm thinking it's my mom. She's going with me.
Yeah. So let that person help you. That's what's supposed to happen here. Let them help you, and there's something that you're going to give back to her. You don't know it yet, but there is an exchange, so you don't have to worry about that. You're giving back, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Turn me around on how I was thinking about it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no,
it's positive now.
Exactly. I mean, what Jess was saying is, you know, the surrender, you have the trust that the universe is conspiring to make everything you want happen. They are. Mm-hmm. They're not on. So when we get these stalls, the first thing we want to do is go, oh man, it's not supposed to happen. And it's like, oh God, you know, I had all these dreams and hopes, and now I'm being told no. That's not necessarily what it means. It means there's a better way to do it. Or there's a piece missing, like the feeling I'm getting about your mom. That piece is missing. It's like you don't have all the pieces yet, so they're just stalling you until you collect everything you need, and then you can move forward.
Right, you can't finish the puzzle yet.
Exactly, you're missing a piece.
Right, and a delay is not necessarily a denial. It's not like they're taking the puzzle away.
Nope.
Right. That's great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in, Becky.
Bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye. Wow, all right, this is the first time I have. I'm like thinking about all the times people have called in, and you had to like reel me back. You're like, great. Time's up.
You did it.
I still have time. Yeah, my. I did it.
And now we've got 9 minutes. So now we're hitting the home stretch. This is playtime. I think for the most part that we've completed, I feel like this is completion with this subject matter. I think that we've given you the tools that you need right now to start working with this, to start playing with consistency. And, you know, I can't encourage you enough to track it. It's so important to track. I mean, it's tracking anything gives it presence and attention. So if you get into that, you'll actually start to see your consistency. That can motivate you. That can be very motivating. It's been like, wow, like, you know, I didn't realize that yesterday was my day 10 on working out until I tracked it. Until I looked back at all the days that I've been working out, I went, oh my gosh. Like, I totally got past that day 7 resistance. I got past it. Now I'm on the other side of it. What does that look like? Where do I want to go now? So, but if I didn't write that down, if I didn't have any way to look at it, I'd be like, I'd try and remember. And, you know, sometimes our mind can get foggy, you know, because we've got so many things going on in our mind with our day-to-day lives. So tracking and just a little investment every day is all it takes. Even if it's 17 seconds, that's all it takes.
Exactly. 17 seconds to pure awesome.
Pure awesome.
I know. I'm thinking about all the things that I could give 17 seconds to today. There's so many different areas that I can give 17 second benefit to.
We should just call it 17 seconds of awesome.
That's right. 17 seconds of awesome. Well, I'm thinking about, like, I've done EFT, emotional freedom technique, the tapping.
Yes.
Anybody
yes.
done that? It was really interesting.
I've done that.
I did it consistently for like a couple months. I really saw results, and it was funny because they're pointing this out to me, because once I got results, I stopped. And then I'm like, why isn't stuff coming? Like, it was so easy before. And they were like, you're not showing up again. It's like it took a couple months for it to like flow, right? It took a couple months for it to be like, okay, these things are changing, because the emotional freedom technique is about, you know, transforming emotions or negative emotions into positive ones, or releasing ones that you don't want anymore. It's good for anxiety, stress, PTSD, I think depression too. So it's really good for those really strong negative emotions. So I was doing that, and it was having a positive effect, and then I got what I wanted, and I stopped doing it. I'm like, wait a second, why aren't things flowing in a very specific way anymore? It's like, well, you didn't consistently show up to that. So it's interesting. When you start getting results, keep showing up consistently. Don't be like, I got it. Go do something else.
Like, well, that's funny how, like you said, like, I used to do that, but with Reiki treatments. I'm a Reiki master, so I can do work on myself, and then I also have other friends that are trained in Reiki, and, you know, we swap, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll, but I was in, and I was doing, you know, videos with that, and like with the EFT, I was watching these videos and using that, and once I got my result, I stopped. It was the same exact thing. I think that was like a year or two ago. And then I was like, well, why isn't it working anymore? Duh. And, it, you know, the best analogy for me is, you know, you start working out, you know, you start seeing results in your body, and you're, like, really excited, and you're like, yay! But for some reason, like, you don't stop. You know that you can't stop. Because if you stop, you know you'll go back to your old body, right? So So I've done that too, where I'm like, oh, I'm like, I'm looking good. Like, I can slack off a little bit now, and then I'm back to where I don't want to be. So now it's like, no, I got to keep it consistent. And, you know, there some days might look lighter than others, but it's still a consistency thing.
And you reach a tipping point, right? So you, it's so funny because something showed up on I have Intently, and for those who don't know, I think it's intently.com. It's this really cool application you can add. It's kind of like a Pinterest board, but what it does is it replaces all those ads you would get if you were like on Facebook, and you know, the little sidebar that has all the ads that come up. It replaces that with like mantras and positive things, and you can put pictures in there and stuff that you actually want to look at that feels good. And one of them said, it hurts now, but someday you'll see it as a warm-up. So there's a part, right, where you're working out, and you burst through, you hit the tipping point where your regular workout is pretty easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they're telling me is that once you get to that point, it's not to stop. What it is that just a little bit of exercise will keep you there. You don't have to work out as hard as you did in the beginning. You can stay, you can plateau very easily, meaning like, let's say you reach a physical form that you really like and you want to keep it. All you have to do is show up a little bit every day for that to maintain, to be in maintenance, right?
That's true. That's
so
true. And then if you want to go to a different level, it's a whole new ball game.
Right.
Know?
Then you have to reapply. You have to reapply yourself in a different way. But what they're telling us is it's the same with anything else. Same with building a business or getting your finances in order or honing a skill. You can get to a place where it'll start to be easy and you're just in maintenance. And so when you feel that ease, that maintenance ease, that's usually where if you're not conscious, you'll stop. You'll be like, oh, I got it. I can do it now. It's so easy. So you stop doing it. They're like, no. Still show up and do it. That's the maintenance mode you're in. If you want to progress more, you have to push yourself in a different direction, right? But
yes,
the
and
challenge is one is to stay, to keep showing up, keep showing up.
And the keep showing up
keep
is
showing
really
up.
Where it is. What?
Yes, it is. I just kept saying it. I'm just going to keep saying it. Keep showing up.
Are you trying to, like, reinforce something here?
I am
Maybe?
Myself. I'm like, for me too. You know what I mean? It's like they don't give us anything that they're not like, hey, Therese and hey, Jess, pay attention.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I know that I'm glad that you kept on saying that because what they were showing me is they were showing me this one area. They're like, yeah, you've been sliding the last few days. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm sliding back on that. Okay. So I have to hit that harder today. But they will show you, and they'll be gentle about it at first. But if you ignore when they first show it to you, they will get more persistent. And then it will become something like you get sick or you have a financial setback or you have an accident.
Well,
or, you know, you don't want to get it
again.
To that point. You do not want to get to that point. So
because it gets harder again. It's like if you don't maintain maintenance mode, you backslide, and then it becomes harder again, right? So it's like once you hit that ease and grace that you've been trying to get, stay there. Stay with it. Show up every day. You know, once you can drop into your meditative state within 60 seconds, that's awesome. Now stay there. Like, do show up and keep doing that because it can backslide. You can backslide out of it, too.
Keep showing up. I think that's the best way to end the show. I really do. We only got a few seconds here, but that was brilliant. So, really, people, keep showing up. Just like Therese said, like, do it. And you will see the result. Just do it. And tell us about your results. We'd love to hear about them. So hit us up on the Facebook page, and we will be back with you next Thursday at the same time. And we hope that you have an absolutely amazing day. Love and sparkles to all of you. Bye.